He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think.
This is the School of Motion podcast. Come for the MoGraph, stay for the puns. Hello, friend. So this episode of the School Motion podcast is actually a little bit of an experiment. Rather than do an interview, which we love doing and we'll do that a lot more in the future, we are going to be covering some big news, namely the news that Adobe bought Figma, another design app primarily used for web and app and product development, for the small sum of $20 billion. Why would they do that? What does it mean? Should we be afraid? Should we be excited? Well, I've got some thoughts and I'm going to lay them out for you right now. And when this episode is over, let us know what you think. I'm really curious if this is the kind of content that you'd like us to keep producing. And without further ado, let's get into it. Adobe recently completed the largest acquisition of a venture capital-backed private company in history. I'm talking, of course, about the Figma deal. Maybe you've heard of it. Why did Adobe pay $20 billion to buy Figma in the largest private venture capital-backed acquisition ever? And what does it mean for our industry? All right, let's start with the basics. What the heck is Figma? If you're a motion designer, you're used to using Photoshop, Illustrator, and After Effects to do your work. You may not be familiar with Figma. Well, you should be. Figma is far and away the number one design tool on earth right now for designing websites, apps, digital products, things like that. It has a lot of vector tools built right into it, some of which rival the way Illustrator works. It works pretty well with bitmap imagery. It doesn't have nearly the effects and the depth of image manipulation tools that Photoshop does, but it's getting there. There are tons and tons of plugins, a really active developer community for it, and it's getting better all the time. But the big thing about Figma, the reason everyone has flocked to it, there's really two reasons, I think. One, it is browser-based, cloud-based, meaning that when you download the Figma app, really, it's just a glorified web browser. Figma runs essentially on the web, in the cloud, all the time. Now, why is this cool? Well, first of all, from a technical standpoint, it's just very, very impressive. And it sort of shows everybody what's possible when you get a really amazing engineering team and what's possible in terms of getting real-time performance out of a design app on the web. And if you use Figma for about 10 minutes, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the other big thing is that it's a multiplayer app, meaning you can have designers working on the same design at the same time. And it's really pretty cool the way they've implemented this. It's really, really useful for things like design reviews, leaving comments, co-designing. But the browser-based nature of Figma, it really creates some interesting concepts in terms of how you use software. There's no such thing as saving a file. That's an old concept. That's the way dinosaurs use computers. It really kind of changes the whole paradigm of what software is and how you use it. And I may sound like I'm speaking in hyperbole, and I am, because that's kind of my thing. But also, I think it's true. I think the way Figma works is the way software is going to work in the future. Now, Figma is really optimized for making websites, products that are digital, apps, things like that. And so it has the best tools on earth for doing things like setting up design rules, design systems, making it really easy to do responsive design. So you can design something at one resolution in one format, and you can very easily change the shape of the frame you're working in. You can do responsive design. And as motion designers, we're asked to do this all the time, for example, creating things in 16:9 and then also delivering them in 9:16. And Figma actually makes designing for that far, far easier than any other tool. It has this really cool system in it called components, which are basically like pre-comps inside of After Effects. You can build something once and then you can copy it all over your design, but you can add little variations to it and little controls. It's really, really powerful. Obviously, it's very, very powerful for web and product designers, but it could also be really useful to motion designers, which is something I'll talk about in a minute. Now, are motion designers using Figma right now? Well, yes, some certainly are. If you're working in the UI, UX, interaction design space, you're almost certainly either designing in Figma or getting designs from a designer in Figma. Maybe you're using a tool like AE UX to transfer those designs to After Effects so that you can animate them, creating prototypes that you'll then hand off to engineers to turn into code, or maybe using Lottie to export things that can be used directly on the web. But I think as the design tools in Figma get more sophisticated and you start to get feature parity with something like Photoshop, you are going to see a lot more motion designers using Figma to do boards. I'm still using Photoshop to do boards typically, and I use the art boards feature in it. I really like that feature because I can see all of my boards at the same time, really easily copy and paste between them. Downside is that it's really, really slow and clunky, and it gets really frustrating when you have a lot of boards and it's just not very responsive moving layers around. In Figma, you just don't have that problem. Basically, everything happens the second you click. And so I think as more motion designers get comfortable with Figma, you're gonna see more of us using Figma to do boards. Okay, so now you have some idea of what Figma is and why it's such a big deal, but why on earth would somebody pay $20 billion for that? Well, to understand that, you have to understand how companies are valued. So Figma is considered a SaaS company. That's S-A-A-S, and it stands for Software as a Service. Investors love companies like this because they can be huge. You can get millions and millions of customers, but because it's software, you don't need millions and millions of employees to support those customers, right? And so to figure out how much a company like Figma is worth, you need to know a few numbers. One, how much revenue are they bringing in? How fast are they growing, sort of percentage-wise, year over year? And what is the typical multiple for a company like Figma? What is a multiple? A multiple is basically just the number you use, multiply the revenue times that number, and that gives you the value of the company. And different sectors, different types of companies have different multiples, and SaaS companies have some of the highest multiples because they are so much leaner and easier to run than, say, a huge company that does construction or something, where to scale that business up and to build more buildings, you just have to get more equipment and more people. But in software, you don't. You just do more marketing and get more customers, but they're still using the same product, if that makes sense. Now, in 2021, Figma's revenue, their top line, the amount of money they brought in, we're not talking about expenses or profit or any of that yet, was $210 million. And their projections for this year, 2022, was over $400 million. So that means that they are still in the realm of doubling revenue every year. And that's the kind of thing that makes their multiple go up. So in 2019, the average SaaS company was trading at a multiple of 9 to 11 times their earnings. And so if Figma was being sold then, and we're saying, okay, they're making about $400 million this year, then the value of Figma should be somewhere between $4 and $8 billion. Now, in 2020 and 21, things went kind of crazy for, you know, reasons, and valuations went through the roof. And so it wasn't uncommon then to see companies trading at 50 times their revenue, which is kind of crazy. But since then, the economy has tanked. And so now multiples are back where they were historically. So if things are back where they were historically, why did Adobe pay 50 times Figma's revenue to buy Figma? There's a lot of reasons, but I think this quote from Hunter Walk, who is a partner at a VC firm called Homebrew, I saw this on Twitter. I think he kind of nailed it. And I think this is probably why they bought Figma. He thinks Adobe basically thought, what percent of our market cap do we need to spend to protect the rest of our market cap? Figma has become one of the only companies on planet Earth that actually threatens Adobe. They've gotten to a size, they've built new technology, they have an adoption rate that is actually threatening to an enormous 100+ billion dollar company like Adobe. Figma is part of the new breed of software where it's built around performance, it's using new technology, it's browser-based, and a lot of these companies have a free tier, something Adobe doesn't have for most of their products. And so very similar to the way Blender is starting to take market share away from Cinema 4D, because I don't know if anyone told you this, but Blender is free and it's very hard to compete with that. Figma has a free tier that's actually very, very useful, and you can get away with using it for free until you basically have a team of a few people that want to share things. And so one of the things that is happening, same as with Blender, is that younger designers who don't have any money and, you know, don't want to have to invest and take the financial risk of buying Adobe's tools, they can use Figma for free and they're going to get really comfortable in that tool. And then when they get really good and they're old enough to start going out and getting a job, that is what they're going to know how to use. They're not going to be using the Adobe suite as much. Adobe is smart and they realize this. So Figma's creating pricing pressure on Adobe. Well, this is free, your thing isn't. I'm gonna choose the free thing. And that's really hard to overcome. Let's talk about Figma's market share, because this is kind of amazing. So Figma's been around about 10 years, actually, but they didn't get the massive traction that they have now until probably 2 to 3 years ago. That's really when they started to explode. So let's look at the 2021 design survey. So by the end of 2021, Figma had 63% of the market share in this vertical of people designing for the web and for apps and things like that. And look at the velocity, look at the lead that they got. I mean, they basically became uncatchable. And you know, Adobe has their own design tool that does the same thing. It's called XD. It's actually a great tool. Lots of people use it and love it. But it's not browser-based. It doesn't have nearly the adoption that Figma has. And if I'm Adobe and I'm looking at XD and I look at Figma and I think, okay, we need to be able to, you know, tweak XD to compete with this, to be honest, I'm not sure it's possible. Because Figma's development team has proven over the years they can develop really, really fast, and they are world-class at building new technologies. Adobe is as well, but they're not fast. I mean, they have an amazing engineering team. They're creating, you know, and have created some of the most widely used, greatest software ever. But they're a massive company, and massive companies just move slower than smaller ones. That's just the way it works. And so I think Adobe probably had to do some soul searching and realized we're never going to catch Figma. And so the bottom line is, I think Adobe made what I feel is actually a pretty smart decision to buy the company, really the main company that actually had a chance of significantly impacting their business or even putting them out of business in the next 10 to 20 years. And now I'd like to talk about Twitter's reaction to this, and I'm sure you can imagine how well this went down on Twitter. But before I do that, there is a piece of news I want to make sure you are aware of. So recently, we made the decision at School of Motion to lower our course prices back down to where they were in 2019. That's almost a 20% cut across the board. It makes our classes much more affordable and much more accessible, which is why we did it. In addition to that, we also removed the extra fee that was being charged to students when they would be on a payment plan. So now payment plans are totally free. There's no penalty for spreading out your course payment over three payments. Our mission at School of Motion has always been to break down the barriers to learning, mastering, and working in motion design. Hopefully, this step takes us a little bit closer towards achieving that goal. It's really important to us that as many artists as possible have access to this kind of training. And so we took this step, literally the opposite of inflation, the opposite of what's happening to the price of gas and milk and eggs. Our classes have actually gotten cheaper. So I wanted to make sure you knew that. If you've ever thought about taking a class and haven't, it's actually a wonderful time to look. Now it's going to be easier than ever for everybody. That's it. Now let's get back to this very interesting Adobe Figma deal. All right, so Twitter. The acquisition is announced on September 15th, and Twitter doesn't like it. No, they don't. They don't like it. Not one bit. The memes, they were flowing like wine. Now look, it's Twitter, so you have to take everything on it with a grain of salt. But I think, you know, there's some legitimate concern here. So what were people worried about? Well, I think in a nutshell, they're worried that Adobe will somehow ruin Figma. They'll make the UX worse. They'll make it slow. They'll add features no one wants. They'll bloat it. They'll destroy this beautiful community of people who've been using Figma for years and love it and contribute to it. And that will all go away because Adobe is the empire from Star Wars. And I don't believe that, for the record, but I think that was kind of the tone I was picking up from Design Twitter. I think a lot of people are worried that Adobe will kill off the free tier of Figma. And I think that's a valid concern because the free tier really makes Figma one of, if not the most accessible design tool on earth. Because it's free and there's this amazing community and tons of content on YouTube and other places on how to use it. So it's kind of like Blender in that way, where you can spend $0 and get this amazing design tool and learn how to use it professionally before you ever have to worry about paying for it. And to be fair to Design Twitter, Adobe does have a little bit of a checkered history with acquisitions. A really famous example being Macromedia, which created Flash. Adobe bought Flash and basically was at the helm of Flash when it completely collapsed and disappeared from the face of the internet. And if you were around at that time, you probably remember how frustrating that was, because Flash, for all of its flaws, was actually a pretty amazing tool and it could do some really cutting edge things for its time. And, you know, I think there's this feeling that maybe a different company would have handled it differently and it would still be around and it would just be way cooler and way more developed. And all of the people who were earning a living using it wouldn't have had to figure something else out. More recently, there's Mixamo, which, if you've never used it, is a really cool site where you can go and basically get a bunch of stock motion capture assets, tweak things, apply motion to different rigs, things like this. And Adobe acquired them several years ago. And while not too much has changed, there have been some features pulled out of Mixamo that were very popular. And I don't know the reasons for Adobe doing that, but that is the type of thing that happens sometimes when a larger company swallows a smaller one. They make decisions that smaller companies might have made because they wanted to and not because they were actually financially the best thing to do. And so I think people are worried that that could happen with Figma. Now, you know who else didn't like this deal was the stock market. Oh my God, And this nosedive in Adobe's stock price, it makes sense if you look at the math of the deal. Remember, we talked about revenue and multiples, and the multiple Adobe paid for this doesn't make a lot of sense if you're looking at the standard deal size and the standard way these deals typically work. It seems like they overpaid. But I think the stock market's wrong, and disclaimer, this is not financial advice. Do not listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think Adobe stock is probably a pretty good buy right now. I don't think most investors understand the position Adobe was in. I don't think they had a choice. I think they had to buy Figma, and I think they had to pay dearly for it, and I think in the end, it's going to work out great. I think a lot of investors look at Figma as another design tool, and why does Adobe need another design tool? Don't they already have a million of them? Isn't this just Photoshop on the web? They do not understand the nuance of the design field, and they don't understand how transformative Figma really is as a tool, as a way of working, and the types of applications you use it for are not the same that you use Photoshop and Illustrator for. It's more of a competitor to XD, and XD never got the market share Figma got, and that market share is just going to keep exploding because, let me ask you a question, do you think there's gonna be more or less websites in the future? Do you think there's gonna be more or less applications in the future? Mobile apps, web apps, desktop apps, all of them get designed in Figma. So I think investors are wrong on this deal, but I also think Twitter is wrong on this deal, and that might shock you because Twitter's never wrong, but in this case it is. So one reason is just the size of the deal. Adobe is spending what at the time of this recording is something like 15% of the total value of Adobe, their market cap, 15% of that to buy one company. Now, that is really going to incentivize them not to screw it up, right? And I know it can be popular to beat up on Adobe when they do something you don't like, but Adobe is filled with geniuses. Trust me, I know some of them, and I don't think they're going to screw this up. I think they understand what the stakes are, and they're going to do right by the Figma community. And let's look at some more recent acquisitions. So last year, Adobe acquired Frame.io, one of my favorite web apps, for $1.3 billion. And it's funny because at the time I thought, wow, that's a huge deal. Go Adobe, go Frame.io. And now, gosh, really kind of looks like small potatoes. But a lot of people were worried that Adobe would sort of mess up Frame.io somehow. And so far, they haven't. Frame.io is still a separate brand. It's a separate app. But Adobe has very, very smartly integrated it into Adobe Creative Cloud. And guess what they added? A free tier. If you have Adobe Creative Cloud, you can now use Frame.io for free up to a certain amount of storage. You can go to the website and find out more details if you want, but it comes with the app, and Frame.io is amazing. It's one of the, I think, the most innovative products to come out in the video space in the last decade. So clearly Adobe can buy a company and integrate it in a smart way that benefits both them and consumers. And I think that there's kind of a secret weapon behind all of this that I want to tell you about. That secret weapon is Shantanu Narayen, the global CEO of Adobe. This man knows what he's doing. Okay, this is widely regarded as one of the best CEOs on earth, a great leader, and I think what sets him apart is his ability to really look very far down the line and try to read the tea leaves and make moves now that may not make any sense today, but in 20 years, everyone will look back and see what a genius he was. If you run a small business, you know that a lot of your time is spent putting out fires right now and maybe thinking about things 3 to 6 months in the future. When you're a CEO at a company the size of Adobe, you need to be thinking a decade or two away, really. And I think that's what's going on here. So Shantanu became CEO in 2007. And since then, Adobe's made lots of acquisitions. So let's go through a few of them. So there's Typekit, which eventually became Adobe Fonts. And who doesn't like Adobe Fonts? It's basically a bunch of free typefaces that you get free with Adobe Creative Cloud. I use them all the time. I'm sure you do too. And you may not realize it, but Adobe acquired a company to integrate that feature. Behance, Adobe acquired Behance, and that has become one of the kind of de facto portfolio sites on the internet, and lots of people use it to get their first gigs and get discovered and get hired. There's Fotolia, and Fotolia was a stock website which Adobe acquired for, at the time, seemed like a giant amount of money. I think it was $800 million. That became Adobe Stock. And Adobe Stock, you know, it's very similar to Shutterstock and Pond5 and other stock websites like that. But because of Adobe's size and the way they integrated it, it really helped to drive down the cost of stock photography. I can remember when stock photography would cost $500 for one image, and now you pay some small monthly fee and you can get, in some cases, all-you-can-eat stock photography. And in the case of Adobe Stock, you get credit, but the prices are super reasonable, and that deal is part of the reason why. They acquired Algorithmic, which makes the Substance suite of tools. And we've already seen how that technology is kind of making its way into other tools. And I think that that's going to work out really well for everybody, especially if they can bring some of that technology into After Effects. And there are some signs that that's happening. And now Figma. And Adobe's already said they're going to leave Figma as a separate brand, a separate company, and, you know, not kind of mess up the user experience of that app, which I'll take them at their word. But on top of that, they now have access to Figma's developers, their technology, which I think will make the Adobe Creative Cloud Suite far, far more useful, hopefully more performant, because I think that's one of the things Adobe really does need to work on, is making their apps work faster and better. And bringing this browser-first, browser-based, cloud-based app design to the forefront of, you know, the industry that we know and love, motion design. Now, with all that said, could Adobe ruin Figma? Yes, they could. It could happen. I don't think it's going to. Now, if you're watching this, chances are you are a motion designer of some type, and you might be wondering, how does this affect me? Well, here's how I think you should look at this. So the lines between motion design and interaction design and experience design and UI UX design, those lines barely exist anymore. I think it's just all kind of one thing now. You've got design and animation, and when those two things touch, we used to call that motion design. Now it's just design and animation, and there's a million different little niches you can find yourself in, but they're all starting to coalesce, and I think the tools will start to consolidate as well. So while you are probably still using Photoshop and Illustrator for 99% of the design you're doing, if it's 2D, I think more and more Figma is going to be in the mix. And like we're seeing with Blender, the younger generation of designers are all going to be using Figma because it's free and it's really easy to learn. It's a lot easier to learn than Photoshop, for example. And so if you plan on being a motion designer for the next 10, 20, 30 years, you're going to be using Figma at some point. You might as well learn it now. And now is actually a great time because not a lot of motion designers actually know it. And I think there's an intersection of like Figma artists and After Effects artists that big tech companies and companies that make software, they're probably desperate for that. Because every app on earth now is in this arms race to make their app more beautiful, have more micro interactions and things like that. And that's basically what we do as motion designers, but there isn't really a well-defined way of doing that yet. It's getting there. We're almost there, I think, maybe, kind of, but you can be on the leading edge of that, and I think the opportunities are going to be insane for you. I also think you should use Figma, even if you have no plans to learn it, just so you can experience what the next generation of software feels like. When you use a tool like Figma and then you go back and use a tool like Photoshop, it really does feel like going back in time. And by the way, I love Photoshop. I use it almost every day. I'm very comfortable in it. And it scares me to think I may have to leave it one day because not everyone's using it. And so now I need to use this other thing. But when you use Figma, almost everything happens basically instantly. Everything's intuitive. You can jump right in and start working in it having zero experience with it. Something I'm not sure I can say about Photoshop, and something I can definitely not say about After Effects. And the multiplayer feature in Figma where you can see someone else's mouse cursor as they're in there working at the same time as you, that's incredible. I'm not quite sure how that could work with animation yet. I'm sure someone will figure it out. But for design, it's unbelievable. It's a game changer. And if you're a designer and you're interested at all in UX and interface design, learn Figma and get good at interface design. I think there's a lot that motion designers can learn from interface designers. The way they use grids, the way they use color and hierarchy and typography. It's similar to the way we use it, but it's so much deeper, and it has to be because their products are typically a lot more complicated than ours. Ours are these passive experiences that you consume. Theirs are things you literally have to interact with and make sense a lot of times with no instruction manual. And as animation for web apps starts to find its footing, and I think we're almost there, Figma is going to be the place where all of that stuff starts. It even has some rudimentary animation tools already, and those might get developed. So I suggest getting comfortable with it, especially now that Adobe owns it. And that, my friends, is my hot take. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, and I'm really curious what you think about this acquisition. So probably the easiest way to reach me is to head on over to Twitter and hit us up at School of Motion, or you can find me at Jay Kornman. And let me know your hot take, please. I really would like to know your hot take. Let me know what you think about this acquisition. What do you think about the future of Figma if you've never used it? Are you excited to use it, to check it out, to get a taste of the future of software? Let me know. And as always, I will see you on the next episode.